About 3 weeks ago, I'm sure most of you will have heard that Alan Milburn produced a report about the difficulties facing young people after they leave education. And we were asked to think and pray about that in our intercessions, and in doing that I realized that while in the Bible we are told to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn, and in the letter to James we are told that if somebody is in need, it's not enough to pat them on the head and say trust in God. Rather, to quote a well-known expression from an ex-politician, we're all in this together. But I know nothing about the predicament of young people face, but I know one who does, and that's Daniel. So Daniel, could you tell us a bit about your background, what your goals are, and what kind of work you are currently looking to find?
Most of you know me, but just a thing. So from school, I found chemistry probably the most interesting and decided to continue it at university. And I wanted to do a course that offered a year abroad so I could sort of see more of the world and do something a bit different. And then I did 3 years in York and my master's in Brussels. And after that, I decided that pure academic chemistry was not the path for me. And I wanted something a bit more practical and got more tangible benefits. And because I'm concerned about the environment, I wanted a career more closely aligned to that. So there's lots of different opportunities in this industry. I've been looking at sort of environmental technology, but I have applied for various things. And I haven't had much success at getting interviews. Lots of it is sort of instant rejections without any chance of getting any feedback at all. And some parts of it, I'm questioning if a real person has read my application at all. And if I even do receive a response, this was written on Thursday, and on Friday I did get I've got another interview lined up, but this was written before then. Currently I do have a job, but it's sort of part-time in web development, and I don't really want to be doing this long-term. It doesn't call me, but I do have something to keep me ticking over.
We've seen a lot, as I said, in the news recently about the challenges for young people to find opportunities at the moment. But why is it so difficult, do you think?
So I think it's a factor. There's lots of different issues combining at the same time. So I think we've all seen the big number that 1 in 8 young people in the UK are currently out of education or employment or training. That's 957,000. I have a ton of statistics, but I might not give all of them. But that rose sharply. So that's a 10-year high of 13.2%. And rising cost of living means companies are spending less to employ people. Minimum wage and national insurance contribution disproportionately affects hiring of young people. Increasing use of AI means entry-level roles are less relevant. There's more layoffs going on, so in the job market we've got people with more experience competing against people with less experience. And generally, more people are more skilled. So there's more competition. Lots and lots of people have degrees now. Application processes themselves have changed. There's various AI screenings, multiple online interviews, assessment centres, other tasks and rubbish and stuff I've had to do for multiple steps for small roles. And then there's sites like LinkedIn and Indeed that have all the quick applies, so you just give them your details and they send it off, but leads nowhere in most cases. There's an average corporate entry-level role receives 140 applicants for every single vacancy, compared to just 38 applicants 20 years ago. Older people are staying in work longer, I mean, there's less churn of workers aging out to make space for new ones. So the average age of leaving the UK labour market has hit an all-time high of 65.8 years for men and 64.7 years for women. meaning that 1.4 million people aged over 65 are currently remaining in employment, which means there's fewer upward mobility for young people in the workplace.
So how does this affect your peace of mind, your self-esteem, and does it impact your spiritual life?
So I think the main thing I feel is that it's hard to feel sort of wanted. It's been just over a year, so on the 7th of May to the date that I finished my master's, and I essentially am in a very similar position now as I was then. And I am transitioning my career path a bit from chemistry into environmental stuff, which does make it a bit harder. But I do have applicable skills, and just having a degree is no longer enough. So 15% of young people currently detached from work have a university degree, and over 21% further hold A-level qualifications. And young people now have huge amounts of debt, so the average graduate owns over £45,000 for a qualification that is now treated as sort of an entry-level necessity, whereas previously degrees could practically guarantee any career. And with the application processes itself, from my experience, 9 out of 10 plus times, if chemistry isn't listed in the acceptable preferred qualifications, flat out ignored. And for less academically inclined young people without a degree, they're therefore even more limited in what they can apply for. And sometimes I feel guilty that I'm not spending 8 hours a day on applications, but I think I need a life. And I would probably be incredibly unhappy if I did that. And there are probably opportunities that I have missed, but I can't spend hours and hours on every application only to be rejected and not receive any feedback on how to improve. I feel a bit limbo at the minute. So I missed out on a holiday with my old uni housemates the other week because it coincided with possible dates of a interview and I didn't get it. So I had to miss out on the holiday to not even get the interview. And I can't really put my life on hold forever waiting for possibilities of a job. So I've got lots of things in the summer to look forward to. And I know that things will work out and that I will get a job, but I'm just a bit impatient at the minute now. And I'm trying hard, and I've done extra relevant qualifications to boost my CV. I do a ton of volunteering, as most of you probably know. I speak regularly to a career coach, careers advisor lady, who's very supportive as well. And I feel like I'm doing pretty much everything right. But if it was just me struggling, I'd feel okay because it's something I could work on. But it's clearly not just a me issue. So what am I supposed to do? And I do feel lots of compassion, particularly from my parents. Because even if we do have disagreements, they are supporting me. And I know it's because they want the best for me. And I have other people supporting too, like the community here. And people I volunteer with, everyone. Like, there is a lot of compassion generally, but it's not leading anywhere because it's a wider issue than that.
Alan Bilbourne spoke of a lost generation, and as a church, we acknowledge that we are very short of people in your generation. So how do young people feel, do you think? Is it a common experience for you?
I'd say it is, from talking to my friends and spending time sort of online. I think there's a common misconception, maybe, that young people are sort of lazy, and that's just blatantly untrue. And of course, there are people that don't care and will just scrounge benefits and or just be lazy, but this is nothing to do with age at all. Anyone can be lazy. The government found that 84% of these young people out of work, they are actively wanting to and trying to find a job, but it's just not coming to them. So life now in the UK is better than it ever has been in so many ways. For instance, many major illnesses are curable or manageable. Communication is instant, so you can speak to anyone over the world. You can learn anything at the click of a button. You can travel relatively easily. There's social support for previously marginalized communities. And technology has enabled life to become so accessible. Obviously, you can talk about overconsumption, but I made a note that's outside the discussion. So even though life is a lot better now than it ever has been in so many ways, just the types of the struggles have changed. So young people reportedly have more mental health struggles than ever before, and partly this is because of increases in understanding about diagnoses, but also due to the amount of accessible information. At all time, you can look at every single major horrible thing that's happened around the world, and it just gets blasted at you on social media. And there are algorithms designed literally to hijack the brain, which just induce outrage to keep people engaged on social media, just so another second and another penny of advertising revenue can be extracted from people. There's rise in far-right organizations that are targeting young people because they want to make them hateful for their whole lives. With all of that, young people generally can feel very overwhelmed, and the brain can just sort of shut down. And this is not being lazy, it's just natural instinct. The human brain cannot comprehend all this. It's never been designed to. So just to add on top of that, the struggles of the job market. So it's sort of like a nail in the coffin, because young people want to find work, but they're unable to be given the opportunities because they need experience. And they can't get experience because they can't find a job. So the current data says that 60% of young people currently out of work haven't had any paid job before. And that was compared to 42% 20 years ago.
To us, as the older generation, the obvious question seems to be, why not just take a lower paid job to gain the experience?
So not only are there fewer low paying jobs before, so traditional starter options like retail have had a massive drop of 94,000 roles annually. Construction openings have also plummeted by 32.4%. This is a massively widespread issue across the economy. All the basic jobs are not really there anymore. And people also want lives that can support them. Someone who's worked for 4 or 5 years on a degree, is it bad to want a job that they can put the skills into practice, and to have a job that will support them in a career long term without having to worry about rising costs of living? And it's long been the way, I think. Obviously I've been that long, but that young people are supposed to struggle in the beginning and accept the bad roles with a traditional up mobility in the company, but things just don't look like that anymore. People stay in work for longer, which reduces the chances of promotion and the associated pay rises. We've matched the tightest non-pandemic related markets at the minute, with 2.5 unemployed people for every empty job. So it's not that there's a lack of workers, there's just a lack of jobs. And there's lacks of meaningful pay increases across the whole market, and that means that people are moving from job to job, and this gives them the constant improvement of position and salary that they deserve with the more experience that they've gained, but they face stagnation in current positions from lack of internal mobility. So there's a large lack of loyalty, let's say, from employees, but that has become come about from a lack of respect from the companies that employ them. For a young person, the cost of unemployment is estimated to cost over £300,000 if you're detached from work before the age of 24 over a lifetime. And that impacts future chances of buying a house, which is something that's traditionally seen as key aspirations to enable people to start a family and feel secure. It's so unaffordable, it's already a daydream for many people, regardless of age, who pay so much money in rent that they cannot afford groceries. And take into account young people who normally have lower wages. So in 1997, average home cost was 4.4 times annual salary, but now it's 7.6 times for an average full-time salary and 12.4 times for the annual earnings of a young worker on the national living wage.
As a church are anxious to know what we could do to help the what we might call the younger generation. So what do you think we could do to help young people in these difficulties of their lives?
I think there's two key things that can be done. So firstly, having just a bit of understanding, and the world has changed so much in the past 20 years, and even more so in the past 2 or 3 years, that to quote another politician, truly we are living in unprecedented times. There is sort of an air of resentment, I guess, from young people.
Could I just interrupt there?
Yeah.
Because when we spoke during the week about this, you used a much stronger language. You said there's a real anger amongst the younger generation.
There is, I'd say, on average, more anger from young people towards older generations who seem to have everything handed to them. But also, equally, there is seemingly an air of resentment or anger from older people who see younger generations as having everything handed to them on a plate. And these are two things that can be true at the same time. This is one of the hardest times to find a suitable job, and it's not looking at improving anytime soon. But that doesn't mean it wasn't hard before and that it won't be hard in future. Even during the 1980s recession, the government actively encouraged people to take early retirement to open up entries for school leavers. But today, this is basically frozen. And sort of only by communicating and understanding between generations does anything actually productive come from this conversation. Because the world is different now, particularly regarding jobs. You can't really anymore hand in a CV and get hired. And in many cases, it's more about who you know rather than what you know. So I think the second thing to do is use any sort of contacts or opportunities to directly try and help young people you know. So 15% of working class young people have no access. No, 15% of young people do have access to professional networks or mentors who can help them navigate applications. So that's a massive amount who just have no support. And if you get support, it might not work out. But a key conversation with an experienced person in the chosen industry, it might just be the thing someone needs to land a role. And I wrote a little thing. The human connection in such an inhuman process is very important. Because applications are very isolating. You're just sort of stuck, hunched over a computer with no in-person experience. Everything's online. I can count on one hand the number of times I've been invited to anything in person. Most of it just sort of very dehumanizing. And providing actual connection, communities best support the young people who do not feel connected. And there is a big emphasis with companies on risk management. So young people do lack experience, so it is often preferable to hire someone with more experience. But just giving a good referral about someone, it can go a long way.
Thank you, Daniel. I think there's more than enough there for us to digest. The purpose of a sermon, or one of the purposes of a sermon, is to teach and encourage. And I think this is a way of doing that. It's, as we try to address the problem of a missing generation, it's important to know what the cause of the problem is, rather than just pray empty sort of prayers. And I'd like to finish with a prayer. 3 weeks ago, it was Trinity Sunday, and one of the intercessory prayers is very appropriate for today, I think. So let's pray together. Send us to the children and young people. Send us to listen, to hear, to motivate, and to see the potential within each one of them. Send us to face with them the big life questions they ask, to hold their concerns and fears for our future and for our planet. We pray for leaders of children's work and for youth workers as they respond to the anxiety many young people suffer, and ask for your peace in the stress of exam season. We pray for wisdom so that we can help children and young people to flourish and to live with courage in a tough world. Help us to build communities where children and young people can find their place and know that they are loved. We pray together for optimism and trust in your gospel of hope for us and for the world. Amen. Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you, both of you.